What do you experience that time of the month? For myself, it varies month to month. Some months I honestly feel fine. Other months though, I'll feel very sluggish, a bit down, or I'll get these intense cravings like give me something deep fried right now. Then I know it's that time of the month, and managing PMS is easier with estro control. Also, Happy Mammoth, the creators of Hormone Harmony, are dedicated to making women's lives easier by using only science-backed ingredients proven to work, and they never compromise on quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains herbal extracts known as adaptogens, and these amazing ingredients help the body adapt to stressors, including the chaotic hormonal changes women naturally experience. And Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause or perimenopause. Any woman with symptoms can benefit from it. Symptoms like racing thoughts and low moods, or poor sleep and constant fatigue, or occasional bloating and gas, low libido, feeling sluggish, hot flashes, and night sweats. Hormone Harmony has got you covered. It can help with all of these issues. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MAGIC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code MAGIC for 15% off today, and your hormones will thank you. Though I do love my makeup routine, I feel like I want to spice it up a little bit. I could use a bit of a refresher because I've been doing the same thing for a while. However, I will definitely still use the same makeup line I've been using for 4 years now. And so whether I'm just simply adding my Liquid Lash Extensions mascara by Thrive Cosmetics for an everyday touch of mascara look, or going all out with their highlighter, eyeliner, and eyeshadow for some full glam, I simply love applying Thrive Cosmetics to my face. And why? Well, the quality is honestly impeccable, and they support a great cause. It's even in the name, Thrive Cosmetics, C-A-U-S-E. So Thrive Cosmetics and Bigger Than Beauty Skincare aim to empower customers, employees, and giving partners to live confidently. And they practice responsive giving, donating high-performance products or much-needed funds to help communities thrive. I can't emphasize enough how great their mascara is. I'll never give that up. Even if as I refresh and redo my makeup routine, I'll always be using their Liquid Lash Extensions, because their unique formula creates tubes around each lash, lengthening them, and it's super easy to remove. It just slides right off with some warm water, and there's no smudging. Plus, it has some nourishing ingredients, which help support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. And as someone with blonde eyebrows, I also appreciate their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner. This easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder. I love it. You can't beat it. And so you can line your brows to give them structure and create natural-looking strokes. I love the natural look to fill in sparse areas. It even comes with a spoolie brush to lift and tame your brows after application, and they have 8 shades to choose from, and it adjusts to your natural brow color for a perfect match every time. Pretty awesome. So refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/magic. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/magic for 10% off your first order.
If you're not sure if it's your head or your heart, your intuition, say it out loud. Because when you say it out loud, you'll know it's like, oh, that felt weird. That's not it. Or you'll know where it's like, oh God. What I've also found is when we're talking from our heart, when we're saying something that's really true, which is like the voice of our soul, our voice tends to drop a bit.
Now let the magic begin. Hello, Soul Tribe. It's Raquel. And if this is your first time listening to Your Own Magic, well, welcome. I actually should rephrase that, as I hope you're always listening to your own personal magic every day. But if this is your first time lending your ear to this podcast, well, again, welcome, and I'm so happy to have you here. And if this is your second time, or your third time, or your 50th time, well, hell yeah, I love you. And thank you for coming back and spending so much time hanging out with me on the podcast. That's actually how I feel when I listen to podcasts. I feel like I know the person so much that I'm almost hanging out with them all the time, weekly. So you basically are hanging out with me weekly, I'd like to say. And I also really do love to connect with the listeners, usually on the Secret Your Own Magic Facebook group, which is somewhat not so secret now that we talk about it all the time on the podcast, but hey, it's still a closed group. So if you're interested, feel free to join. I'll just leave the link below and we can connect there or wherever. Connect somewhere else online or offline. I love meeting people in the Soul Tribe. Like, I did get to meet a lot of and squeeze some of you in London, which was so magical. I truly like felt so connected and we would soul gaze and it was just the best time. And also, speaking of London, my next magical guest, Rebecca Campbell, she resides there. So you might see her and do the same thing. Squeeze her and soul gaze with her. I'm sure she would love that. Rebecca has actually been a really highly requested goddess by the Soul Tribe to come on the show. So I listened, and Rebecca listened, and it happened. And if you are in London, you may find her roaming around and writing in Regent's Park, one of the places that I would watch the sunset in London. And she talks all about her writing ritual and connecting with the nature in that park while writing her best-selling books that are gaining in popularity every year. Her books are Light is the New Black, A Guide to Answering Your Soul's Calling and Working Your Light. And her other book, most recent book, Rise Sister Rise, A Guide to Unleashing the Wise Wild Woman Within. And Rebecca is a Hay House author and creative artist, lightworker, leading heart-based workshops internationally to help people connect with and spend time with their soul. And Rebecca, she is actually an Australian goddess, even though she lives in London, but she's an Australian goddess who experienced her first awakening as a young teenager, studying beyond the physical with mystic arts, and felt called to go on a solo pilgrimage to the sacred sites of the UK and Ireland. Hey, it kind of sounds very parallel to my own experience in the moment. No wonder we felt called to connect, and no wonder that connection took place. And now Rebecca leads sacred retreats through her Rise Sister Rise sisterhood. And her spiritual services have not gone unnoticed, as she has been awarded as a top 100 woman of spirit and best emerging voice by Kindred Spirits. I did not even know that there were spiritual awards. It's interesting. And I think that's amazing that Rebecca was awarded those. She deserves it. I can't wait for you to relish in Rebecca's own magic that will help you learn how to acknowledge and connect and spread to the world your inner light within. So I believe it's time to give a giant thank you to the Yomi Reviewee of the Week, 5-star Pure Magic by Lumerian Princess. She writes, I feel so alive when I ride my bike and listen to Your Own Magic as the warm wind hugs my body. Raquel's voice is like a hug for the soul. Oh, listening to the podcast brings me back to a space of love. There's something so grounding about connecting through voice, bypassing physical appearance, and truly listening to a being speak their truth. No distractions. It's such a clear and raw way to share. Hearing Raquel speak her truth has helped me to heal my own wounds and reality far more than I could ever believe. The fearless goddess she embodies inspires me to return to and embrace the sparkle in my own soul. My day proceeds as a magical fairy dream when I carry the nuggets of wisdom from the podcast I get listening while riding my bike. Your message brings me back home. Whether I feel lost or in love, I always find myself going back to listen and re-listen to every episode.
Very quickly, a short poem from my heart for the Your Own Magic Soul Tribe. You don't need a face. You need a voice. The energetic carrier of your soul. Far more powerful than any mask you may wear. Its sparkle is there. Regardless of how you tie your hair, it doesn't care. Its vibrations will never tear. Though it may leave you in a scare. Because when everything goes, it remains tethered to your earthly name. Pure energy that cannot be tamed. Sending everyone here so much love. XO Annalise. Oh my gosh, Annalise. My Lumerian sister. I love you. Wow. Whew, I'm taking that in. That was actually my first time reading it. And I have tears in my eyes and chills up and down my spine. You really just wrote what the rhythm of how I'm feeling my life is right now to be more seen through my voice than my appearance. And I'm glad that you saw that and you acknowledged that. In fact, I'm more than glad. I'm just beyond appreciative and feel so full of love for you. And you are so amazing and pure and such a light. And I'm so thankful that you're part of this tribe. Also, I hope you stay safe on your bike while you listen to Your Own Magic. And your poem was beautiful. Thank you so much, Annalise. And I would also love to hear from you, so feel free to rate and review this podcast, and I may share your words in a future episode. If you want to leave a poem in your review too, feel free. And when you do, send a screenshot of your rating and review to hello@yourownmagic.life, and you will receive a free meditation, Meditative Imagining, guided by me, along with being entered for the Hum giveaway of $150 worth of Hum Nutrition products that we've been doing since the beginning of the podcast. Man, we must be on round 7 or 8 now. And speaking of Hum Nutrition, well, first, I would love to thank all the Soul Tribers who have been taking Hum Nutrition for their shells. I want to hear your success stories of how Hum has helped improve your health in any way. And also, by supporting Hum, you're really supporting this podcast so this podcast can exist. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you, Hum, as well, for being a loyal Yom sponsor and doing all you do for the Soul Tribe. You have changed and enhanced my own life in so many ways, especially my health. And as I've said many times, you were the cure to my Bali belly, which I carried around for a while, and I had so many digestive issues after, you know, a sweet old Bali bug living inside of me. And with your Gut Instinct tablets, they helped smooth my digestion, and probably the Flatter Me tablets too, as they flattened my belly. And I know many of the Soul Tribers love their vegan gummies for your hair and skin, but what makes Hum unique is that they offer a wide range of pure, tried and true products, and many of them are vegan, that have been carefully formulated by researchers and nutritionists who identified the right micronutrients to help clear our skin and grow our nails and hair and heal our digestive issues and boost our energy and metabolism and more using sustainably sourced ingredients. And my favorite now is actually their daily cleanse to clear my skin and my body from toxins daily. Now, I know I sound like an ad, as this really is an ad right now, but I just really want to highlight the fact that there's a reason so many people love Hum, and it's because they're tried and true and so good for you. So, if you're interested in Hum, they are continuing to gift the Soul Tribe 20% off their purchases at humnutrition.com using the promo code MAGIC. That's humnutrition.com, promo code MAGIC. And now it's time to let the magic begin with Rebecca Campbell. There we go. We are live, Rebecca. Oh, okay. So your book, Light is the New Black. It came out in what, 2015? It came out a while ago, but yeah. I noticed over the course of the past year or two, it has really taken the spiritual world by storm. I've seen it on many Insta stories and posts. So of course I had to get the book too. And congrats on the rising success. She's amazing. But actually both of your books, Rise Sister Rise, is still rising too. And they're just truly reshaping minds and lives. So thank you for your dedication to them.
Thanks, Rico.
Yeah, Rebecca. So you have a story. You have a story. And you said, sometimes the universe turns off all the lights, so we have no choice but to find our own. I love that. Do you mind sharing this time, the catalyst that turned on your light and woke you up to this calling of your soul?
Yeah. So I feel that we all, no matter who we are, we all experience rock bottoms in our lives. And the rock bottoms are invitations to, instead of looking at it as like the dark night of the soul, looking at it like my friend Robert Holden so eloquently puts it, it's not the dark night of the soul, rather it's the dark night of the ego. And it's at these moments where it's like, it feels like, whether it's through grief, through severe loss, whether it's just through realizing and waking up one day and realizing that the life you've consciously created is just not in alignment with who you are and the life that you want to create for yourself, for your joy, for your happiness, for your family. When you have that moment, it's really this invitation for the part of us which has been consciously creating the life, you know, climbing the ladder, doing all the things that we're told we're meant to do, and instead inviting our soul, that wise part of us, the part of us that is constantly whispering and attempting to lead every moment of every day, really allowing that part of us to step forward and lead.
Yes, that part of us that has been climbing that ladder, society's reality of how we should live our lives. That is something that you are sharing this message with the collective, to actually live your own unique light. And I love that you talk about this in Light is the New Black. What does Light is the New Black? What exactly does that mean? And what was your vision behind this book?
It's really a guide to listening to your inner voice. So when I say light, I mean your soul, your spirit, the part of you that is beyond just your physical years. And it's really a matter of tuning in and working that part of you. You know, so often in our society, we're not taught to prioritize our intuition. We're not taught to prioritize our heart, that inner guidance that we have. And so the book really is a guide to help you inquire into the whisper that is within each and every one of us. I believe we're all intuitive. I believe that we're constantly being led. I believe that our intuition is connected to all of life. You know, this mysterious force that's woven through all of life, that brings the seasons, the coming and going of the tides, the spinning of the planets. And that same intelligent force is also within us. We see ourselves as separate, as you versus me, as you know, country versus country, as continent versus continent. Mm-hmm. Whereas really we're all connected at a deep, deep level. And the more that we can tune into our intuition, the more we surrender to that connectedness, which is constantly guiding us.
This is probably a part of our soul's purpose. And though we are collectively one, of course, we do have these unique shells. And I am totally on the camp. I know we are all one and not divided, and there is no such thing as different races. Yet it seems we have been planted in these shells to live different purposes just for the beauty of the world, the differences of the world. That's so beautiful. And if this is the case, how can we find out our soul's purpose?
Well, I think this is the thing, like the earth is a place of extreme polarity. So in one way, we're all one. And in another way, and there is no you know, barrier between you and I. And at the same time, there is. And so it's like while yeah, and so it is the polarity of earth, which I think is why I think being a soul is easy, being human is difficult, because we live in a period where it is country versus country in many cases. It is class, like there is separation. And so I believe that the more that we tune into that intelligence within us, the little by little we're surrendering to that that wisdom, and we bring the planet back to harmony little by little. But you know, there's all these concepts of like spiritual bypassing, for example, where it's like, yes, all of that is true, and on the polar opposite, there are realities that are showing us complete difference. And that to me is why I find, you know, you would have heard the concept of earth being like an earth school, for like a soul school. And because the polarity is excruciating, like we've got the magnificent beauty of earth as well as the tragic sorrow of hearts being ripped open, children being taken away from at the border, and, you know, severe grief. And so it's both. You know, and I feel that I do believe that we all each have a soul purpose, but I when I was younger, I used to just be like, oh gosh, come on, like tell me what my purpose is. I just want to do it. And I really saw it as this more of a destination, like this place I needed to get to it, to understand what it was, so I could get on the right path and then I'd be fine. And in some cases, when I did go through my Saturn returns and the real crumbling around that, and doing the flip of allowing that whisper within me to lead me versus creating the life that I thought I needed to, because that's what I was told to, and you know, that's what everyone should want, kind of thing. And so while I think that when I finally surrendered to my intuition and letting that part of me guide me, I definitely found myself on a completely different path, which had been calling me for so long. And I think this is true for everyone. I also believe that our soul is always calling us every moment of every day. And so, yeah, you get it. And so it's like, it's not so much about this, like, one purpose that we need to find, rather developing a practice to constantly listen to those whispers every day, to answer the call, and I think this is really all about surrendering to the fact that we're cyclic beings. So it's human nature for us to want to keep, when things are really good, for us to want to keep things just the way they are. Like I remember when I met my husband, and it was a similar time to when my I got my first book deal. Like so many amazing things were happening in my life, and I just wanted to hold on to that. You know, we all do that. It's like it's normal. However, that is, and I remember people saying to me at that time where I was like, oh my God, life is amazing. And they were like, yeah, it's not always going to be like that. And I was like, oh gosh, you're being pessimistic. And in many cases, I think they were. And they were right. It's like you can't keep that state going forever. I mean, there's a difference between happiness and joy, and true joy is like in the depths of the heart. So I think that we can still feel joy when we're going through the highs and lows of life. And as we're cyclic beings, we're in this constant state of letting go and new things rising within us. It's like the rising and fallings. It's like the seasons. We go through spring when things are beginning to bloom, summer when everything is juicy and ripe and like we've been working so hard for it and the sun is shining. And then comes autumn, and little by little, the leaves begin to fall, and winter. where we're being encouraged to really be in the what feels like barren or emptiness. And if we allow ourselves to be in that period, then sure as anything, soon enough spring comes again. And so I think that this concept of like of the seasons is just such a powerful one for us to really live by. You know, I really believe that Mother Earth is teaching us how to be human, how to live, how to be happy every moment of every day. And I think a big part of surrendering to both the soul purpose and really living that soul-led life is to surrender to the cyclic nature of everything.
Oh, Rebecca, that was so poetic. I'm in the midst right now of my Saturn return, and I hear the polarity. I hear her with a capital H, my soul. And then I also hear my ego with a lowercase h that is hermiting and going inward in her winter. And right now I feel like, you know, spring has sprung again and I'm feeling realigned. But, you know, I know that winter's coming because I'm human, and that's a part of the experience. I'm very grateful that I have the tools now to shift her more rapidly. But I'm giving myself permission to not only experience these high highs, but also low lows and being okay with it. I know that this is my season. And you're right, there is such polarity. There, you know, darkness that lingers in us, but it isn't us. There's this inner light, which is love, which is the polar opposite of the realities that show us that the world's darkness carries, like the children you were talking about being taken away, or even the sick and the ill. And I watched your YouTube video on what lights you up, and you asked yourself, what does light me up? And you received the answer, flowers. I think this is such a great way to connect with your capital H her, to connect with that light inside. So you, especially if you're in the midst of that darkness, and you decorated your place with flowers, which helps light you up and activate that spirit in you. I, like you said, being in spirit, feeling inspired. I love that. But it just goes to show that you are deeply connected to your intuition, and she's the one that has helped you really cultivate and understand and love and harness this light inside. And so how do you distinguish your intuitive thought whispers versus the ego, the darkness inside? How do you distinguish the light and the darkness inside, distinguish the voices?
So I think that first of all, you know, and like I'm sure you're all over this, but just if the concepts are new to anyone who's listening, you know, there's the voice of the ego, which is like the voice of the head, right? The mind. And then there's the voice of the intuition, which is the voice of the heart, the soul. And both are very important. One's not better or worse. They're just two different parts of us. Through a lot of mystic traditions and even religions, you'll see the symbol of the cross. And one of the things that the cross represents is so you've got the vertical and the horizontal, and it meets together. And so it's like heaven and earth coming together, and the anchor point is in the heart. And so I believe that, and I have been blessed with amazing teachers who have taught me that the intuition is the voice of the heart, of the voice of the soul. And the voice of the ego is the voice of the head. Now, the voice of the head tends to be very chatty and very controlling, and it has an ulterior motive. Whereas the voice of our heart, of our intuition, of our soul is a lot quieter. And it never has an ulterior motive. Also, it rarely makes sense. So, you know, I always say, you know, it's your intuition when it doesn't make sense, because it never comes with a complete instruction manual. You know, if it's logical, like do this, then this and this and this, it'll be the voice of your head. Nothing wrong with the voice of your head, but if you're praying for guidance, if it's a step-by-step plan, it's probably not your intuition. And I think that what stops most people from trusting their intuition, trusting the call of their soul, is they're waiting for that step-by-step plan before they even take the first step. And intuition doesn't often work like that.
That makes so much sense. I'm thinking about my meditation today and how strange and very abstract, and I had to write it down, and I think it's just a piece of a puzzle of something that is coming because it wasn't clear. But I will figure out the puzzle in time. It's just, that is very interesting. That was a message that needed to be delivered in my ears right now, because that's so true.
That concept of like it being like puzzle pieces, it's a beautiful way of expressing it, you know? And I think having the ritual or the practice of writing the bits of guidance down when you receive them, because, you know, while I'm all about trusting intuition and that we should always follow the call of the soul, it doesn't mean you have to act on it immediately. You know, like we are both. We're like, remember the cross, right? It's heaven and earth, and we are both that. And so it's not about dismissing the voice of the head. It's about differentiating between the two. And the way I choose to live, and it's an everyday work in progress, because it's a lot easier to hear the voice of the head versus the voice of the intuition. You need to carve out time. And in my experience, I've found a daily spiritual practice helps to increase the loudness and your connection to your intuition and the voice of the soul. And I endeavor, and this is what I've committed my life to, and I know a lot of other people who do the same, where it's about actually doing what I call the flip, where instead of living your life from your head and then being like, oh, I wish I had done that, I kind of knew it, or I had that idea and I didn't act on it or whatever, you do the flip. And so you, as a priority each day, listen to the hunches, listen when, you know, you got that funny feeling in your belly, inquire into it, be interested in it. And then you use your amazing mind to work out the plan and work out how you're going to do it. And a lot of the pieces will be missing, but it's trusting and figuring it out as you go along. So often when it comes to living an intuitive life, or what I call a soul-led life, it requires faith. It requires that we listen. And often it requires that we take a good run up and leap.
Yes. And some people might be like, well, how do I know, though, that that's my intuition? And it's exactly that. It might be a little fuzzy, but it might not be completely clear yet. But you just know, it's that feeling where you do want to take that leap.
One of my teachers, Sonia Choquette, taught me when you're unsure about your intuition, a great way to feel into whether or not it is your intuition or your head is to voice it, as in speak it out loud. So our voice is, and you know, if anyone who's followed my work knows how important voice work is in my work. I do lots of chanting. I'm a bhakti yoga teacher. I've studied the kirtan yoga tradition. And our voice is the most powerful sound current on the planet for each of us. And as we speak out loud, we'll be able to feel in our belly or in our heart or somewhere in our body whether or not what we're saying is actually true. If you're not sure if it's your head or your heart, your intuition, say it out loud. Because when you say it out loud, you'll know it's like, oh, that felt weird, that's not it. Or you'll know where it's like, oh God. What I've also found is when we're talking from our heart, when we're saying something that's really true, which is like the voice of our voice tends to drop a bit. So right now, I'm talking from that space because I know it, because my voice is low. Whereas if I'm talking from my head, I'll be like up here and just like, yeah, it's really great and blah, 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 blah. Now there's nothing, it's not that my soul voice is better or worse than my head voice, but that is a good indicator as well.
Oh my gosh, that is so true. I do feel like I get super grounded when I am in my podcasting mode, I guess, or just talking to somebody to deliver a message for the listeners. and the voice drops and I do feel more in tune. Because if you were to meet me at the grocery store, I am very bubbly and my voice is so high and I'm all over the place.
It's interesting, isn't it? And again, I just like really, particularly on the call today, I just like really feel guided to say, like, one's not better or worse than the other. They're just different. And it's just good information to know when you're trying to inquire into, oh my God, am I overthinking this? Say it out loud and just see where your voice goes, you know?
Rebecca, that's brilliant. Also, I need to go to your Bhakti yoga class, by the way.
What?
Now that I know that you're in the UK. Well, you also talked about the importance of having a daily spiritual practice. And so I just have to ask, what does yours look like?
So at the moment, mine is chanting. I play an instrument called the harmonium and I chant most days. I also do a practice, an earth-based practice every day, either earth pulsing, which is connecting to the heartbeat of the mother. It's one that I created or it really found me. It came to me at a time when I just needed a lot of rest and all I could really do is lay on the earth. And so that's a great practice. And another one which I've developed is called intuitive nature walking, which is how I write all my books. It's how I do all of my writing. And so it involves going into nature and really connecting with that intelligent force that I was speaking about, you know, the thing, the life force, the Shakti that's within flowers that tells flowers when to open, that same intelligence, you know, the concept is that it's also within us. And so when we connect with that and allow through the practice of walking, allowing every new step to be a step into the direction of that rhythm. Yeah, and then often when I'll do it, I will receive the whispers of my soul, or I'll receive the wisdom in the plants and the trees, etc.
Always. I notice whenever I'm in nature too, so much beauty downloads through. And I didn't know that you wrote until I think today I learned you wrote the book at Regent's Park where I've been watching the sunsets with my friends.
Yes, exactly. I surely did.
That is beautiful. See, even if people are in a city, they can still find spots of nature, hopefully, where they
are absolutely
able to download the wisdom that they want to share. It's still possible. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just have to ask, when it comes to light workers, so we all have our own inner light to share, and it's our birthright to choose to answer the call of the light over the darkness and the call of our soul over our ego, you know, love over fear. And you talk about this as the birthright of the light worker. And so what and who is a modern day light worker?
A light worker is literally anyone who is wanting to surrender back to that balance, that harmony of life, you know, that cyclic nature of all things. We're living in such changing times. And I think that those of us who resonate with the term light worker, it's easy for us to be like, oh my gosh, like there's something I need to do. And it's, and you know, it being really about us, but really when we feel into what a light worker is, all a light worker is someone who is endeavoring to do the flip. So anyone who's endeavoring to listen to that intelligent force that's flowing through us, through our souls, through our intuition, to let that part of us lead us. You know, another way of saying it is moving from my will, my personal will, to thy will. And I don't necessarily mean that in a religious sense, because I know that word can have religious connotations. I mean like surrendering to the flow of the universe versus our own personal ulterior motives. And so really all a light worker is someone who wants to tend to their own inner light. And to me, inner light is soul, spirit, intelligent life force, Shakti, and let that part of you guide you.
Yes. And you also talk about light workers having a double mission to not only nourish their own consciousness, but also the consciousness of the planet. And how in the world do we begin to tap into that, especially if we really are living from ego?
Yeah. So first of all, I really recommend some kind of spiritual practice. And it shouldn't be like, you know, it doesn't have to be hours and hours or anything like that, but just some kind of practice, some kind of rhythm, like a ritualistic thing that you do to connect into your heart, to your spirit, to nature even. So, and the reason you do that is that it's a moment of every day where you're connecting into that universality, right? Then the next thing I'd recommend is trying not to figure it out from your head yourself, and trying not to make it about you even. So what I did was when I prayed on this, because I'd been trying to figure it out for so many years and I'd received guidance, but I was trying to make it happen from my mind, like consciously make it happen, because I couldn't work out the step-by-step thing. And so it was really at that moment where it was rock bottom moment where I was like prayed for guidance, and it was basically show up to the daily practice and then follow what lights you up. And to be honest, when I heard that very clear guidance, I was a little bit annoyed because it just sounded so corny and was so like, oh, can't be that simple. But I knew enough about intuition at that stage. And so I ended up, like you said, like wrote the list of different things that lit me up. And for me, flowers were surprisingly like right up the top there. And I realized that it was the connection to nature as well as the beauty that really inspired me. And so that actually led me to discover Regent's Park Rose Garden. And I decided to show up to the park, the Rose Garden, every day, do my meditation, and really just do that practice of intuitive nature walking. And as I did, and I connected to the spirit of the plants and the flowers, I began to hear the whispers of earth, of my soul, and write them down. And I showed up every day. And I think this is such an important thing with when it comes to surrendering to or allowing ourselves to be led. It's like showing up with discipline is often, in many times in our life when we feel lost, it's like that rhythm is really important, and it certainly was for me. And so little by little, baby step by baby step, it was like I was just walking myself closer to closer to that connection with the earth. And as a result, I began writing every day, first just like little notes, and then it turned into my blog, and then it turned into an instant guidance oracle on my website, and then it turned into a book proposal. And then eventually, when I'd written my first book, I had a moment where I literally finished it and I clicked file and save and closed the Word document, sent it to my editor, and then closed my laptop. And I looked up and I was in the middle of Regent's Park Rose Garden, where I'd written the entire book. And so, yeah. And so what started as something that felt very corny and kind of so small to me, as in follow what lights me up, led me to a ritualistic practice that I, with discipline, and this is why the mind's important. If I was just in intuition, I wouldn't have committed to the action of showing up every day. Right? I'd just be like meditating all day long, which was not exactly what I needed. So it was like showing up, showing up, showing up. And then little by little, it was the words came through and I had a book. Now, one hand, it was effortless. And another hand, there was so much discipline that was required. So you could call that a lot of hard work, which is also true. And so I think this is the interesting thing when we surrender to that intelligent force, rather than trying to figure out how we're going to fulfill a purpose, rather connect in, and particularly if you resonate with the term light worker, like I find a lot of light workers take on this responsibility, and some can also take it on as in like make it about them, like it's really important, my work's important and all that. And on one hand, totally. And on another hand, it's like, it's not about you. It's not about us at all. Rather, it's none of our business where we're being led, if we're truly of service. And so then when we surrender, we go from my personal will to thy personal will, then that's when the miracles can happen, in my experience.
Dear coffee lovers, and even non-coffee drinking tribers, so listen up. Short interruption because I just want to thank our sponsor, Four Sigmatic. And for the few of you that may not be aware of Four Sigmatic's existence, well, your life is about to change. But if you have heard these ads and you haven't tried Four Sigmatic yet, I don't know what you're doing. You're missing out. They are so magical because here I introduced the power of drinking your own magic mushrooms. Just adding these magical elixirs frees coffee drinkers from all the jitters and crashes and annoying stomach issues that our bodies experience if we drink too much coffee, or even if we just have one cup. So you can add it to your coffees, or perhaps just drink the magical elixirs alone. You may enhance your morning routine by mixing mushrooms in your coffee. I also like to sip on mushroom matcha in the afternoon, and then at night, simply chill out with their liquid yoga elixir, aka their reishi elixir. But my favorite, my ultimate favorite one, is lion's mane. This one is used by Buddhist monks to enhance focus during meditation. So of course, that is my main one. Four Sigmatic is gifting the Soul Tribe 15% off. So click on the link in the show notes or go to foursigmatic.com/Soul Tribe. That's foursigmatic.com/Soul Tribe and enter the discount code Soul Tribe, SOULTRIBE, one word, no spaces, Soul Tribe, for 15% off your magical coffee and mushroom elixir order. Soul freaking delicious. Enjoy. Oh, thank you so much for listening to those whispers. So we are delivered your wisdom and the Rose Garden's wisdom and surrendering. Oh, the power of surrendering. What does that look like when you receive the download and you're how can we surrender? Because people are like, what do you mean surrender? How can I just let go? Yeah. How do we describe this? How can we articulate this? How do we surrender?
Good question.
That's a hard one, I know.
Can you give me an example?
Oh man, let's say you are in the Rose Garden and you're ready to discipline yourself to go there every single day, and maybe you have some sort of ritual where you quiet your thoughts and you let go of all the chatter so you can finally be open.
So let's say that you were committed to writing, for example. What I would do is recognize that showing up to write every day is the human part of you. You're doing your job. So just showing up with discipline is your job. Then it's about calling in the support of the heavens. So you've done the earth piece and kind of demanding it, you know? So if you, for example, if you're writing or even if you're meditating and you're like, oh, I don't know what my guidance is, or I don't know what to write, start there. And say if you're journaling or if you're attempting to write a book, for example, or a blog post, write what you need to hear in that moment, or ask for the guidance that you need and say, just be like, I feel so stuck and blocked. This is annoying. I need your help. And then allow another voice to come through. Allow your higher self to come through. So I think often we see the blocks that we have, whether it's like, I don't feel connected, or I'm finding it hard to meditate, or I don't know what to write. We see those things as bad things, but often that is the curriculum that we're working with. And so it's like actually embracing the fact that you feel blocked, or embracing the fact that you're you feel small, or embracing the fact that you feel really hurt because someone said something really hurtful about you. And so how can you then use that? Because we're human, you know, how can you use that and open yourself up to healing that? So I use writing a lot, and I encourage a lot of my students to do this, and mental clients to do this, where, you know, if you are feeling insecure yourself, or there's something that you're working on, use that in your writing. Ask for guidance, or say that you're afraid, and then ask your higher self, your soul, your guides, whatever you resonate with, to answer. What is it that I need to hear today?
Asking and allowing, that's key, to just simply ask and then allowing. So when you sit there, I know for me, I truly have to shift my thought a second that comes in that might say, this meditation is not working out. This is, you know, you're being silly right now, trying to open up. And then I just really recognize that thought, and I just silence it enough to the point where it kind of gives up. And then I do just open. It's beautiful. And I had the intention in the first place of going wherever I'm going when I sit down to write. Mm-hmm. And so you did this for two books. Your other book, Rise, Sister, Rise, also has such a profound message that just needs to be heard by every goddess's ear on this earth. Where in the world did you write this? I'm curious. And what did Rise, Sister, Rise mean?
That book I wrote actually both in Australia and the UK and a little bit of America. So it kind of like was all over the place.
Wow. Channeled many places.
And the UK. And that book really is about surrendering to your cyclic nature. So it is about the rise of the sacred feminine. And it's very much a book on healing the feminine soul. So I believe that we've had many lives, most of us, and that if not all of us, and that some of us have incarnated in periods of history where it's been not safe to share our voices, for example. And, you know, the past 5,000 years where we have had a patriarchal society, this is nothing against men in particular. This is literally just the times that we chose to incarnate in. And so it's really exploring how we can go back to that more goddess-based way of living, where we see nature as sacred, where we see the woman as sacred and holy, and that we can heal ancestral patterns, we can heal soul patterns and times where we may have been afraid to speak out.
Oh, that's so powerful. How can we tap into and embrace our femininity and rise?
So first of all, the thing to realize about rising is that it is all about embracing our cyclic nature, which means that we need to not control so much and recognize that, you know, looking at the seasons of life, that going through the autumn and the winter is just as important as the spring and summer. So it's embracing who we are at every moment, rather than just when we're having a good hair day or you know, we're ovulating and we look extra good, you know. And so I think that is a really important part of it. It really looks at this concept of creating, if you're a creative particularly, or an entrepreneur, or someone who is running your business especially, it's like looking at creating like the life's work, not the season, and really embracing all archetypes of women, particularly the crone and the elder.
The crone and the elder. Do you mind elaborating on this?
Yeah, sure. So I believe that in our society, and I think it is changing, but the way we look at, particularly in the West, I'm talking about, we look at the aged, look at those who I would say are the wisdom keepers, those who have witnessed, like my grandma, she's 94 and actually just turned 95. And what she has seen in her lifetime is is tremendous. But so many people see the aged as like in decline, as silly and as stupid even, or frail. Whereas when we actually embrace the who they are, even regardless of the changes that may be happening with them. Maybe I've had grandparents who have seemingly gone back to childhood, back to being a baby, just before they pass over, but to recognize that like they are edging their way towards the veil being so thin again. And it's just the most holy, sacred thing ever. And so I really believe that we should, and I feel the earth needs more wisdom keepers, more of us to deeply respect the aged.
Oh my gosh, amen to that.
And for women as well. And gosh, this is I say this and it's not because I've mastered it, absolutely not, but it's a practice I'm devoted to, where it's not like so much of our society has been all about like attempting perfection as a woman, putting ourselves through these beauty routines, even daily beauty routines, where we're trying to be 25 for the rest of our lives. And so it's really like embracing our true age, embracing where we really are. And this is like not just an age thing and not just a beauty thing. It's also, you know, I see so many of us in the spiritual community, especially trying to use spirituality to avoid the lows of life. But I do believe that you know, all of us are going to experience death, right? We're all going to experience it in some capacity. And it is so sad and devastating. And that is beauty as well. And when we try and keep things perfect and try and use our spiritual practices to just avoid those highs and lows of life, then we're going against that cyclic nature as well.
Yeah, perhaps a spiritual practice is to allow yourself to grieve, allow yourself to feel the love for your grandparent or whoever has passed. Mm-hmm. And also your grandma, by the way, she mm-hmm. holds so much wisdom in every single wrinkle. Mm-hmm. That's what I always think. So much beauty in every single wrinkle.
Mm-hmm.
I have a personal question for you then. How do you, Rebecca, let go of controlling your cycles and let go of perfection and let go of comparison and judgment, especially in this hot and heavy, very beauties all over the place, wherever we go, and it's hard to not compare ourselves. How do you let go of this and get into alignment with yourself to allow yourself to rise?
I think that having a close inner circle of women who like can truly hold you or like genuinely your people very much helps. I think also if you're working with your female cycle, if you are say menstruating, recognizing when you're in the PMS phase, which is linked to the season of autumn, things are falling away. And it's like, it's in that phase where anger comes up. Same thing around like when we're going through cosmic periods, like right now as we're recording this, we've been through eclipses and Mercury retrograde and all of that, and it's so easy to see these external forces, particularly like in the cosmos or and even in our body with our monthly cycle, as these things that are happening to us, but perhaps they're happening for us, or maybe it's not even about us and rather we're just part of this changing universe. And to actually embrace that, I think that is actually very helpful and very healthy.
Yes, I love that answer so much. And finding your sisterhood too, or your tribe, and or brotherhood, and finding your tribe who's going to allow and welcome this ebb and flow of life, the changing of seasons. And I actually, it just had a vision in my mind of you holding space for so many women, because you're such a powerful force. And I even feel nurtured just being in your presence right now. And so I'm curious, how do you help your sisters and others rise?
I'd say just by by celebrating them. And I think the biggest bit, particularly with those who are in the inner circle, is being there when things aren't rising, you know? Like, it wasn't a coincidence that the day that my book Rise Sister Rise came out, I was due to do a big talk. I also had broken my foot and I was in a wheelchair, so I couldn't stand up. And I think that is, because there's so much talk of rising, but really it's like, it's both, you know, it's, and recognizing that if we're looking back to the cycles of everything, that as you rise, then things need to clear a way for the new thing to rise as well. And so recognizing that all is good, even when it's not, and especially when it's not, you know.
Oh my gosh, when you truly physically can't rise, exactly. Yet at the same time.
Poetic metaphor.
That doesn't surprise me in the universe. Mm-hmm. You know, the cosmos, they have a great sense of humor. Mm-hmm. But you were still, even though you were physically maybe in a wheelchair, you were still rising mm-hmm. spiritually and there mm-hmm. and present and holding space. That is beautiful. And you celebrate others. I love that. But we do fall. And let's say, before we rise, we may even hit rock bottom. And you bring light to this, that hitting rock bottom actually should be celebrated. It's beautiful for our soul. Why is this?
Yeah, well, I think that when we hit rock bottom, what happens is the part of us that is trying to hold stuff together and cling and just like if we've been trying to make our life happen and push and all of that, when we go through something such as grief or some kind of extreme falling away or a rock bottom, what happens is our ability to hold, our strength to hold things together, like from that personal will sense, we just don't have as much of it. And that's why, and it can feel like in that those moments that it's like it's so dark and there is no light. However, it's in the darkness, when we're in the cave of our own heart, that we can most clearly see the light, this, or the sun rising. You know, you would have heard that quote, and I forget who said it, so excuse me, but how the it's brightest just after just before the dawn, it's the darkest it's ever been. I can't remember exactly the quote, but you know the one.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah. And I think that, again, that's nature speaking to us.
Yeah. And you were talking about this cave, and I was recently in my own cave, actually here in London, for a few months. And while I do somewhat know why now, it's becoming more clear as the puzzle pieces are coming together. It's interesting. You wrote a chapter about oneness versus aloneness, and you mention how one of the most challenging things about being a spiritual being in a human body is the feeling of isolation, whether we have spiritual practices or not, because we all are spiritual beings, whether we are stepping into higher consciousness or not. But also, you know, many people who are here to be of service and be of love, they may tend to hermit, which is so interesting to me because it's such a contrast. Why do some people on a spiritual journey or not tend to isolate themselves from the world, and how can they step out of this darkness into their light?
Well, I think it varies person to person. Personally, I enjoy spending time alone because I think it's a trait of a mystic type soul. Like I like to go in to, when I go in, I feel more connected to, like, it's a classic move as a creative, as an artist, right? So I hear that's where I create and that's where I replenish. And I know many, many others who are similar to that. So, I need to retreat to regather my energy. Not everyone's like that. You're one or the other. I've got plenty of people in my life who get their energy through being social and you know, and being out in the world, which is amazing.
Yeah, it is. I'm like you too. I like to retreat and go inward for quite a while. That's definitely where I find most of my energy, but also can tap into my inner light and creativity. But of course, it's so important to go out and socialize and connect with others because that's what we're here for. And I'm very happy that I've been doing that a little more lately. And one thing that I do like to do with my friends is tarot cards. And I do want to quickly bring up your oracle cards. Mm-hmm. That they're amazing. What are they all about? And how can your cards help us turn on our light?
Well, they're called Work Your Light. And that essentially, it's really, I created the cards literally to help you do that. So we were talking before about the discipline of showing up and doing your spiritual practice. And so that's what the cards are really for. There's lots of different types of cards in there, but essentially you can pull a card every day, and each card is like a little portal, an energetic portal. And so you can get messages or activations of energy or transmissions. There is also inquiry cards too. So it's like you could use the cards as a 5-minute spiritual practice.
Wow, that is so amazing. Everybody needs to try out your cards and do it with themselves and do it with their friends and work their light. I love that. That is beautiful. Are you ready for some rapid fire questions?
Sure.
Yeah, awesome. Morning or night person?
Oh, morning.
Oh, me too. What's your morning routine like?
Just, it changes. I'm sleeping in a lot at the moment, actually.
I love it. You're a free flower. Dog or cat person?
Dog.
Strawberry, chocolate, vanilla, or Neapolitan?
Oh, vanilla.
Ooh, yes, me too, actually. No one said that yet. I'm like, what? I'm totally a vanilla person. Favorite city in the world?
Oh my gosh, it's such a hard one. The favorite one I've ever visited is the coolest city I visited is Venice.
I still have yet to go.
I love Assisi as well though, so yeah.
Where?
Assisi.
Where's that?
Italy.
Oh, all right. I still have yet to go to Italy. I might go next month. Book you're currently reading, if any.
The Music of Life.
Ooh. What's that one about?
It's very dense. It's about vibration and music.
That doesn't surprise me. You'd be reading that. Mm-hmm. Favorite movie?
Muriel's Wedding.
Hmm.
It's an Aussie one.
What did you want to be when you grew up, when you were a child?
An actor.
Really? Mm-hmm. Did Muriel's Wedding inspire that?
No.
No. Define love.
Hmm. Beauty.
And define life.
Joy.
I love the one word definitions. Define God, the universe.
Nature.
Oh, yes. So the universe, nature, gave you free billboards to share one message across the main highways and major cities all around the world, Rebecca. What would these billboards read?
Oh, God. That's so hard. What would they read? I think I'd just, like, make them beautiful. Like, put flowers and beautiful nature in there. There'd be no words. No words.
No words. Just flowers. Of course. I love that. What does it mean to create your own magic?
I think to listen.
To listen to yourself and the world around you. That is how we create our magic. That's actually the entire premise of everything we've been talking about. Listening to our soul. Well, Rebecca, this has been so amazing. I am beyond in love with all the words and wisdom that you just shared. And I'm so grateful you put me on a high tonight.
Yay. Well, it was lovely chatting with you. And thanks everyone for listening.
Yeah, where can everyone find you?
Sure, it's at rebeccacampbell.me, and I'm at, on Instagram, I'm at Rebecca Thoughts, and Facebook, all these places.
And you got a YouTube, but everybody needs to read her books. It's so inspiring. Rebecca, thank you so much.
Thanks, Raquel.
Soul Tribe, yomis, yom fries. Oh man, thank you so much for lending your ear. If you like this episode and you have a friend in mind who could use this message, please follow that impulse and spread the magic. And if you're interested in discovering self-exploration tools for your soul, Well, I invite you to join the Soul Tribe exclusive site at yourownmagic.life, where I have many meditative imaginings and journalings and magic challenges and more for $4.44 per month. And you can receive a little teaser if you rate and review the podcast. I'll just send you a meditative imagining to your inbox. Plus, you'll be entered for a chance to win $150 worth of Hum giveaway products. What? And so just send a screenshot of your rate and review to hello@yourownmagic.life. Anyways, I love you all so much. Thank you for being a light in this tribe, and have a magical day.